27 is the best scripture. There are a few titles for us. I'm not sure if it's the best title. A Heavenly Voice in a Storm was one of them. Keep on Swimming was another one, so we'll see. Titles are not that important, but if you're into titles for taking notes and that, pick whatever one you want, really. This message is for them that mark mistakes, or for them that have friends and family that mark mistakes, or them that kids mark mistakes. And so if you are completely perfect in every way, and you've got perfect family, perfect kids, perfect marriage, with perfect friends, then you're free to leave, because you will gain absolutely nothing by fitting what I say in the next half an hour. There's different types of storms in life. There's a storm that is simply out of our control, and it just happens to us, and we have to trust God in that moment. And that's an easier storm, I think, than a storm that could have been avoided by if you just did the right thing. I'll give you an example. If I come home and say, Ken, there's not enough, I'll lose my job, there's simply not enough finances or anything for me to continue, but we're trusting God, He's sovereign, well, we'll go into greater things. It's a storm, isn't it? It's a storm in life, but it's out with my control, it just happens and you move on. And they're saying that it's not a big storm, of course it is. But if I come home and say that we need to move on, they've had to let me go because I've been skimming the funds in a bank account in Monaco, and they find out, this is a fictional story. But if I say that, then it's a greater storm, isn't it? Because then there's trust things, and then it's my fault. I could have avoided it. And I think it's a lot difficult to trust God when it's your fault than it is if it's out of your control. Is that true to say? But if I made mistakes, and I've made mistakes in life, and I've been through storms in my life that I could have avoided. So this morning is specifically for the storms that really could have been avoided. So we're going to read Acts chapter 27. The backstory of this is that Paul is in prison in Jerusalem, and then he appeals to Caesar as a Roman citizen, and the judge there says, okay, we'll send you to Rome. You can appeal before Caesar. So they leave Caesarea. But then there was like a little storm brewing. But he's on his way to Rome. So we've got to read for Acts chapter 27. When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the Imperial Regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left in a ship whose home port was Adramyttium on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. So we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing in Myra in the province of Lycia. There, the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing. After great difficulty, we finally neared, this Bible's not very kind with names, is it? Nidus, or whatever, I'm not sure. But the wind was against us, so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island. I'm going somewhere with us, or the Bible is, past the Cape of Salmon. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens near the town of Lesia. We'd lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead. He could have almost sung that. There may be trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fairhavens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go into Phoenix, further up the coast to Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest, a southerly for the fishermen, and a northern exposure, a northerly. So here's Paul as a prisoner. They've set sail towards Rome. And it's not looking very favorable, and he turns up and says, warning. I believe if we continue on this path, that before us will be great loss, shipwreck, and maybe even loss of lives. Remember growing up, I think it was Lost in Space. It was a Robinson family. He had a little robot that just went, warning, warning. This was Paul, warning, warning. If you continue on this path, bad things will happen to you. And in my life, as I look back, God's very gracious at putting people in your path that will say, look, warning, if you continue like this, on this path, something, there's a storm up ahead. And Paul had said this to the officers, and the officer went before the owner of the ship and the people in charge and says, look, I've got this apostle Paul. He seems to hear from God here. He's saying if we continue, there's got to be trouble. And they looked at their maps, looked at the man-made maps, and they looked in the, since, well, Dad, we want to stay here, we'll continue, we want to go to a different harbor, we'll just continue in this path, ignore the word of God, and we'll just go for it, it'll be okay. We'll manage and we'll reach the safety of the harbor. And it's a life lesson that we need to heed warnings that people give us if we're on the wrong path. I remember my last day of primary school, the assistant head teacher got us in to the gym hall. Mind if I used to put on your plumies, your plimsolls? She got us in and says, I'm warning you, before you go to the academy, it's a really fine wife, she's biting the street actually. She says, I'm warning you, class, I've got one bad advice for you. Abdi's there, if it's her advice. She says, mark the best of your academy years. Watch for you hang around with the friends you encounter. Don't go for the troublemakers. If you hang around with the troublemakers, you'll become a troublemaker yourself and you'll get yourself in trouble. Warning, you're setting sail here. This is a difficult path, but if you continue in this path, it's not going to end well and there's got to be some loss. Even sitting there, I was thinking, I'm going to prove her wrong. That I'm going to hang around with the troublemakers because we had this thing, oh, cool. It's an old-fashioned word for me these days. I hang around with the cool people, but I'll be okay, Jack. That was the attitude. I see the warning, but I thought, if I can just continue in the path, I'm sure it'll work out okay. She was right, wasn't she? That I embraced secondary school as let's just get the coolest chums that do the bad things and it'll work out okay, but it didn't work out okay. I thought I'd be the guy that refused and ignored every warning and still be okay. And God's very gracious to us and puts people in our path to give us warnings. I remember when we used to hang around outside the academy and smoking was the thing, and you used to read the packet, warning, didn't I do this? And you think, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to ignore every warning in my life. And then you hit the hell drug scene, and a lot of you will ken my story about that, but I was warned against it. I had friends that all our brothers and sisters was in the drug scene, and there was plenty, we was given plenty of warning. And there was teachers and people in the community and friends and families. You leave and continue on this road, it is not going to end well for you. What did I think? 15-year-old Kevin can best. I was going to be the one to ignore the warnings and still be okay. And it wasn't okay. But I ignored a warning. And life goes on, and sort of sailed through hot storms, but it was my own fault. And then there's different warnings now. It's maybe not so severe with different temptation, but still this thing that it's sometimes exciting to go beyond a warning. One day I've driven up to Country Road, and there's traffic lights, and it's at red. Ken, your mate, you're looking at it as though you've never seen before. And it's a red, and there's about 20 metres to go before the other red light is, and you're sitting there for what seems like 15 minutes, it's probably 30 seconds, and it's a red, and you think, yes, I can safely mark it across to the other side without a car coming. Easy. But you wait, haven't you, because you're a good Christian. I've never ever brought that law. But the red light's there for a warning, is it? And you've got a choice that you can sit for the law is telling you to sit and wait this out, or you can go. The problem with a warning, I think, sometimes is once you go beyond the warning and ignore it, it then becomes your fault. Is that true to say? That if there's a red light and it's telling me the law says stop, it doesn't matter if it looks clear or not, that if I go, and anything happens, big or small, that is then my fault because I should have heeded the warning. And in life, there's different warnings come at us, and God is gracious and puts us in churches and leadership and just to annoy us with warnings. See, if you break a wife of fellowship, just warning here, if you break a wire, you're going to isolate yourself, you're going to miss out what God has really got for you. And people in life will say, hey, maybe you're spending a bit too much time with that sort of person, that you keep messaging her or him. Just warning here that if you keep doing it, there's a storm ahead that you will suffer loss. You with me so far? And we've got to be gracious enough to realize when God is warning us and warning if you gambling, if you keep going to the bookies, you're going to end up with an addiction and it's going to spiral out of control and there's got to be trouble ahead. And if there's a warning that somebody gives us and we choose to ignore it, it then becomes our fault. That is difficult for me to deal with. It's difficult for each one of us to deal with when it's actually our fault. So this is the Apostle Paul telling them, listen, warning up ahead. If you continue in this path, you're going to suffer loss. It's not going to end well. And they say, I've read the map. We can do this without suffering loss. What I tell you, if you've got warnings in your life and you're maybe connecting to what I am saying, your conscience is sometimes comes alive and there's a warning, is I've read the map of life and you might think, okay, I can navigate through this without it ending in loss. It just doesn't happen. If you keep ignoring warnings, you will suffer loss of some sort in your life. Sometimes the loss is, sometimes it's trust. Other people lose trust in you because they warned you and then they went away and did it on a way. And sometimes it's financial loss. Sometimes it's you've lost the patience or your friends and family that warned you continually. And so we need to recognize when maybe God is trying to warn us about something. You ever remember growing up, your parents used to say to you, you were warned. And you kid the other side of that, it wasn't going to end well for you, was it? So maybe it was just my family. But you used to get one warning, didn't you? It used to be dinner, scoosh water pistols in the house again. And if you choose to ignore that warning, you and your brother just used to go about squirting water pistols on a wine and you got caught. If it was the next thing they would say, you were warned. And I can, if my dad says that to me, that the other side of what you were warned wasn't going to be too good. And it might have been a bit reading, sir. It was somebody else's parents, I guess. Just like, Okay, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble here if it's just me. But you were warned. I gave you a warning. You continued to do it. You did it again. Now there's something coming your way, a discipline of some sort, depending on how your parents were. Now it's my privilege that I get to say that to my kids. If they continue it, you gave them a warning, if they continue to do it, you were warned. There was a red light there. I told you to stop, but you continued it. Now my job as a parent is to warn you, tell you the right things to do in life. If you choose to ignore it, then the only way you're maybe got to listen is by a discipline. So it's like you were warned. No food for you for the next week. It's like, nobody else does that. Because you were warned, and it carries a mantle of, I did warn you. It's for your benefit, not just for mine, but you chose to ignore it, and now there's a storm coming your way. And it usually comes with a thing of loss. So if you turn your Bibles to verse 13 in the same chapter, so the officers was warned. We must so far. I told you all that to say, these officers were warned by a man of God. Stay. If you continue, you're going to hit a storm and you will suffer loss. I believe it's the right thing to stay. Just didn't go. It's bite for your rat. In the officer, I'm going to go anyway. And for many of us in here, you resonate with you're warned, but you thought, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'll navigate my way through it because I'll be okay, Jack. And this is what happens with self-inflicted storms. So if it happens, if it would God say to us. And so, but verse 13, it says this, when a light wind began blowing, a light wind, and they must have thought, this guy might have just been right here. Blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. This is this attitude again. There's a little storm, there's a little blah wind here. Slightly uncomfortable, but I still think I'll mark it. Have you ever did stuff like that before you were warned, but you thought, okay, I still think I'm going to mark this. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly. Be wary if the weather changed abruptly. If you've been given a warning, but you continue, things can change abruptly. And a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster. Yes, we're in the Bible. We're northeasters. And we love speaking about the weather. So this is a chapter for us. Burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cuda, where with great difficulty, if you ignore the warnings, I'm telling you this, you'll run into great difficulty. If the people run about you, your friends, family, counselors, teachers, employers, if you ignore all the warnings, you will come a day that you might run into great difficulty. We hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Sirtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, everything starts going out of control. As gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. They're starting to see what Paul had said, you've got to suffer loss. This is a fulfillment of ignoring warnings. Loss, we need to put our cargo overboard. There's always loss. When you ignore warnings, there's always loss. It varies in degrees of severity. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. Bad day when you need to throw the ship's gear overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last, all hope seems gone. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever felt like this when I've ignored warnings. But that last verse, oh man, all hope seemed gone. Ever been in that position that says that they suffered loss, even the sun was blotted out in the storm. There was no daylight, and all hope seemed gone. Maybe you're in that place this morning. Maybe you've been there. If you've never been there, God bless you. I hope you never be there. Maybe you've never been there on account of yourself, but maybe you've been there on account of other people's, your family's behavior and your circle of friends. You ever get the feeling, all hope is gone here. I'm on my knees, God. The sun is blotted out. All hope, it seems to be, I'm attracting destruction here. And you wish at that point that you could jump back in time to when you were warned. You would have did it differently, I'm sure. But you can't go back in time and you can't change circumstances. So you're on your knees in a ship that's going nowhere. The cargo's overboard. The food's overboard. The gear is overboard, meaning that you're at the absolute mercy of the elements. The stars, the sun is blocked out. All hope is gone. I've never felt like that before. Can't see any light in this situation. For the officers, this was their fault. They carried absolutely the responsibility because they were warned. What would God say in a situation like that? Or what I find out. Hopefully you've not skipped forward and read. Because this is how I like preaching the gospel of good news. Because we didn't always think, we should presume what God would say in a situation like that. Verse 21. No one had eaten for a long time. All hope is gone. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, and we can resonate with the first bit, certainly. Men, you should have listened. It's just getting flashbacks there, that Isabel says to me sometimes. You should have listened. Side story to us. I had a botched DIY job. I was supposed to put a pole up in our cupboard. Kind of rarely hang out of your wifey's clothes on. I'm not speaking about men, I'm speaking about the ladies' clothes on. I'd only put 4 screws on, I was supposed to be 6. And there was buckling in the middle. And Isabel told me continually, you got a need to put another bracket in the middle. Warning. I thought I'll be okay here. It seems to be at force holding fine. 2 nights ago, the middle of the night, crash! The weight of her clothes. Suddenly, Tina hang piling up inside her cupboard, her clothes. That was just a side story because I got this in the morning. You should have listened to me. I thought, you're right, Isabel. I've seen it like a soldier. I should have listened to you. You should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. We get that, didn't we? I told you so scenario. I did tell you, you should have listened. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. That is true. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives. Even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. That's comforting words for an angel, isn't it? You're going to mark it and you will go to prison. Hallelujah. What's more, I love the what's more of God because there's always more. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. We will be shipwrecked on an island. This is maybe, if God had said this, would maybe be more comfortable with it. If God had says to Paul, and his message was like us, I was praying the other day during a shipwreck. I was in a personal prayer meeting and an angel came and says, Paul, You're going to be saved. You're going to mark it. I'm going to ensure that you walk on water as Jesus did. But the rest of the unbelieving officers and sailors and prisoners, them that didn't believe you, I'm sorry, but they are going to be left at sea because they are an unbelieving bunch. Should have listened to you. And they never believed the word of God and the judgment they shall receive for their disobedience is looking at you walking on water as I save God's chosen one. How good is God that in the midst of a self-inflicted storm that he would say to the Apostle Paul, this is the message I want you to give to the people that could have prevented the storm. I want you to say, take courage. Because an angel appeared to me in my right hand last night, and I've got a message for you. That we are going to be saved. I'm going to be saved because God has got a plan for me that cannot be ignored because we sit on the wrong sail, that cannot be stopped by only storm or human ingenuity. I have to stand before Caesar. So I'm going to be saved. But what's more, my God is so good. He is so amazing. That even though you rejected the warning, even though you thought you were going to mark it, Jack, even though you consulted a man-made map instead of the word of God, what's more is he's going to save every last one of you. You will be shipwrecked. Your boat will go down. But you're going to be saved. Take courage. Wow. Nay, take condemnation. Nay, you should have took my advice. Nay, I told you so only. Take courage. He didn't just say, be courageous, be strong. He said, I've got something to give you that you need to receive. Take courage. I'm sure the officers listened to him that time. When our hope seemed gone, sometimes people, that's when people listen to the word of the Lord. When all my hope was gone, my granny used to tell me about Jesus all the time. Gave my Bibles for my Christmas. Shoved it in my cupboard. When our hope was gone, suddenly I needed something to take courage for. And then the word of God I had ignored suddenly became relevant. You maybe find yourself in a self-inflicted storm. There's a word of the Lord to you. Take courage. Keep swimming. I've ordained that you're going to mark it to the end. You might find some loss and difficulty. But I've got a God that stands beside me at my right hand and he breathes life into his church and his people. And he says, you're going to mark it. Take courage for heaven. Take courage for the word of the angels. Take courage for the word of God. Take courage. Look up and see that God is a good God. In his goodness and in his love, he is going to make sure, even if you're in a storm that you created, he's going to make sure if you keep swimming, that you're going to come out of there. It says they're going to be shipwrecked. If you keep reading, but I'm not going to tell you the full story. They started a revival in Malta, the place that they were shipwrecked, it says that they all came out for healing. And they started a fire. Because God is such a good God. That even if we mess up, he can take our mess and mire and he can do a miracle. And we can be a testimony of the goodness of the grace of God. Take courage. Maybe this isn't resonating with you. Maybe it will one day. If you're in a situation that just seems hopeless, even if it does you, I guarantee you'll rub shoulders with people in life that will need this word. And you have to be there for them as Paul was for the officers. And even as a shipwreck has gone down, as the ship has gone down and stuff's going out of shop and overboard and the sun seems blotted out, you need to be in that place of prayer. Paul was in that place of prayer. Maybe he sensed a vulnerability. And maybe you're the strong, faithful Christian in here. Well, I tell you, be the Apostle Paul for the officers. If they needed the Apostle Paul, you be the Apostle Paul to your loved ones. You can that you love them. You can they're messing up. You can that you've warned them. In fact, you got to say to them, I told you so, full stop. Or are you going to say, realize all hope is gone for you? They'd try and tell you. However, hallelujah. However, I've been praying for you. I've been commanded to pray for you. Every single day I have got on my knees before God. And I have seen you in this storm. Well, I've got a word for heaven for you. In that moment, they'll listen to you. For God, as I was kneeling in my quiet time with the word of God before me, an angel showed up at my right hand. The angel, the God who I serve and obey daily, showed up. Are you getting this? This is like a life lesson. How do you deal with people that you love in storms? You go to the place of prayer even when the storm is happening. I think God really loves showing up there. God showed up there, isn't it? Often in the Acts of the Apostles, the angels just showed up a few times. But an angel, God's thought so much of this situation that he sent an angel to speak to the Apostle Paul. And maybe you will have to carry the word and say, I was in that place of prayer and an angel showed up. He told me to say this to you. He says, take courage that God, whom I serve, he's going to save you. Just keep swimming. We're going to be here for you. The church has got to be here for you. That there's angels willing to minister to you. That God will put people in your path to champion you on and just say, keep on swimming. You might suffer loss, but hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. For my God, it says that he's going to be with you till you get to the other side. I want chums like that. I need people like that. And somebody needs you to be that person today, I guarantee it. And if not the day, next week, if not next week, the month after. Because this is life stuff. People get into storms, self-inflicted, absolutely. Did we warn them? Yes. Was I warned? Yes. If it would God say, take courage. Keep on going. Champion people on in the faith. I think we should stand and pray. You're never sure how to end a service like this. I guess for some of us, it resonates more with our kids, grandkids, friends, family. And as I do, you feel helpless. You think, what more can I say? I've told them, keep on going. They'll face a storm and they'll keep on going and things are happening and their lives are spiraling. Completely out of control, and you're waiting for a word, and you're praying for him. Maybe this morning, this is about you taking courage for this word to say, look, keep praying for him. He shows himself faithful to the faithful. He answers the prayers of his children. He will bless you for your shameless persistence. Ask of him and you'll receive, and he has the power to change the course of people's lives. And you are in your family or your sphere of friends for such a time as this. Not to be the religious person that would kick him when they're doing, but to be the person that would carry the word of God to them in their time of need. But I'm just going to do a covering prayer firstly for them. Find themselves in a storm, and if this is personal to you, then hey, we're available to speak to us after the service or through the week. And we want to pray we in your storm. You've maybe caused it, but we want to impart the courage of heaven. This is maybe just a chapter in your life. It's certainly near the end of the story. And God's got so much for you. Don't allow yourself to come out of fellowship or with the Father, with the church. Then isolate yourself, but get yourself around about good people that will say, look, take courage. So pray for two sets of people, and pray along with me if you feel led. We'll pray for them that are in a storm, but really want to pray for them that are friends and family are in that place and they're in a storm. We need to stand in the gap for them. But let's pray firstly for them that finds themselves in a storm that they have created. God, you know us. We can't hide from your presence. And sometimes that's a scary thought. Other times it's the most exciting thought in the world. I can't escape your love. But God, we pray for them this morning that feel as though they're in a storm that they have created. And the impression they get is the sun is blocked out and all hope is gone. I pray for that person that they would take courage for the word of God. God, take them at place of humility, or honesty, or encouragement. God, that they would realize this morning that you are the God of all hope. Not just of some hope, not just a hope that when you feel like it, but you're a God of all hope. And I pray that in the inner being there'll be a strength within him. And Lord, that blotting out of the sun would go in Jesus' name. And they would see the Son of God, Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of Father with the champions of faith, encourage them to keep on going, keep on seeking the face of the Lord. A day will come that the storm will die down, and you will find yourself landing on a beach someday. It might take days, it might take weeks, it might take months, there might be a lot of complicated things to sort out, but then you give up, you keep on going, you take courage as the angels around God's throne champion you on, and we pray that the angels would be sent to encourage them specifically this day that feel so brokenhearted because they know that they have messed things up, and I pray that today they'd be encouraged in Jesus' name. But God, we also stand in the gap because I'm aware that I know people that are in a storm and they have created it. And so, God, we didn't come with a heart of condemnation or a heart of just, well, we told you so, full stop. We come as a heart. We want to see them encouraged in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray in that place of prayer, angels would turn up and give us words for them. The Holy Spirit, you would guide us in how to deal with them. God, I pray that we wouldn't go into situations, difficult situations, and we would stir up the hornet's nest and there'd be a bigger mess after we went in and Finn, we got involved. I pray that we'd be peacemakers. I pray that we'd go in and we'd see storms stilled in Jesus' name. God, would you give us the right words to say? And we pray, and we join in prayer, and we say forever, Lord, is stuck in that storm the day that they would take courage, that they would keep on swimming this life of faith, and we would see people that were stuck in storms coming to faith. We didn't pray for storms, but we realized storms happen, and I pray at that moment that they feel within themselves, oh, man, all hope is gone. I pray that I'll be a turning around of situations within them and they would realize that the word of God at that moment would become relevant. They'd realize the family member, the friendship, and they realize, hold on, that person told me one day that God is a good God. He's a loving Savior. And now I need him. I need him to get through. We commit him to you. And we pray for quick results. God, we want our family and friends saved quick. They're missing out in so much. And we look forward to seeing them in here worshiping alongside us. And they would realize that they had met you in that place of difficulty when their fellow hope was gone. That you sent somebody in their lives to give them courage. And we ask it in Jesus' name for your glory, Lord. You're so good to us. It was in his goodness. It was in his goodness that came the word. Because his God was such a good God. It says, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. I want to take that word to heart. Do you now? How do you sail in Wima in this life? So they find themselves in a storm. God, in your goodness, would you grant us the privilege that Abdi's sailing with us? You would grant them safety. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the worship band to come up. It's good to go with praise. I'll say sincerely, there is different projects going on. There's youth. There is a kitchen to be ripped out. But let me say this sincerely, if you find yourself in a storm, specifically if it's where you're in creation, if it comes with that as guilt and a whole host of different things that we've discussed, we've still got time to see you, to meet up with you, just to pray with you, to encourage you, to tell you keep on going. But let's turn up in morning's night to the prayer meeting. Let's stand in the gap. Let's pray for the people that we see. We love them, and it hurts us because we love them. We see them get into storms that could have been avoided. Maybe an angel will show up. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? It would be the prayer meeting that people would be sick that they missed. Yes, let happen. Let's praise his wonderful name before we go.